Tell me about the concept. We're in a pretty disturbing period of history in terms of climate destruction, and humankind appeared to be hell-bent on unraveling nature. You are obviously a climate defender, and the children that are on the bus are climate defenders as well. So tell me about the concept and how you got them together as a filmmaker.
Yeah, well, I think it was as you alluded to then, was that what's been missing, I think, in the climate conversation amongst all the graphs and the data and the endless debates has been the humanity. And I think that's been a slight failing in communication. I don't think anyone did it deliberately, but we haven't put human beings at the center of it often enough, and we certainly haven't given the future generations a proper voice. And I think that their only voice has been obviously protesting and going to the streets, but as you might have seen in the film, they just have so much more to offer in terms of their, I guess, their creativity. And how refreshing that is, that they think outside of the system, but also they bring a morality, which I think is the most important superpower they have right now. We've sort of designed an entire system that's stripped of any morality. All our leaders possess none of it. No one's caring and anywhere near the levels they should be. And yet these children are able to just, I guess, bring that light and that heart. And I hope that it sort of snaps people out of a reverie a little bit. And I've certainly seen that in the screenings, that the children are giving permission to adults to really emote. Like it's quite incredible how much emotion people are expressing in these screenings. And I get the sense that they've wanted to emote, they just haven't been able to, or there's just so many distractions now in society that you don't have to actually feel the reality of where we're at. So I think that was a big motivation of the film. And really, it was just from doing 2040 and taking that around the world and doing lots of classroom discussions and just realizing how smart and switched on this generation is, or some of them within it anyway, that the level of acumen around sustainability is off the charts and far superior than a lot of adults because they are exposed to so much information right now that why shouldn't they have a voice in this moment? They do have something to say. They do have some innate wisdom, and they should be shaping and designing their own future. So, let's build a platform, a network, connect them together, meet them with the right people so they do feel like they can actually move forward. That'll alleviate some of their anxiety, and provide a very small beacon of hope amongst, as you said, an increasingly sort of dystopic world.
The children themselves were a great mix of characters. And of course, like with all human endeavors that require social interaction, you did this over time. So you had to manage personalities as well as emotions, as well as grief in some respects. Tell us about that, how you did that.
Yeah, that was probably it's what made it so beautiful. And it was only a month that we shot for, but these eight children, as you said, they came in from eight different countries. They all had socioeconomic backgrounds that were different political leanings, different eating habits, and their parents as well. But again, it was a terrific exercise in everyone sharing a common purpose of what this was about. Letting go any of those things that might be frivolous sometimes and actually finding the best in each other. And you saw that in the very last scene of the film, which I think is the best scene, where the kids were able to express what they loved and learned from each other, And here's a group of 10, 11, 12-year-olds being so emotionally intelligent, two boys sharing that, one of them says, "You're the kindest boy I've ever met." Like that's exactly what we need to be doing as adults, and here are these children showing us the way. So it was difficult at times, of course, as you can imagine. But we had a very, like, there was a strong duty of care. Everyone that was involved in this film really did care about these kids deeply, and the parents were there too. So I just made sure we checked in every day before filming, all of us. We got in a group together, me and the kids, made sure they felt, had enough energy. We didn't shoot for too long. They all felt safe and held. And then we sort of closed the day each day with a bit of a regroup check-in. How's everyone feeling? Anything, not, nothing got left unsaid. And so we just formed a very trusting bond very quickly. And I think that allowed the children to really be themselves, as you said, to express their emotions, their grief, because they did feel safe. And I've spoken to the kids after the fact, even in a Q&A the other night, and Ruby said, "Well, we just felt like we were really listened to. And that's what we think kids around the world aren't feeling right now." And she called it active listening, that you guys were actively listening to us and we felt heard, and that made us feel safe. So I think there's a lot in that for anyone.
The writer, you and the writer, worked pretty carefully on how, because it was only a limited length of time. I mean, it's a film,
Yes.
and you can't bore the socks off people. And not to mention, actually, it feels intractable. I mean, I have to say that the earth and in the environment can go on quite happily without humans, whatever humans do to it. So, but this is about the challenge to humans and the structures that have been created by probably the West, more than the South of the world, although it's a globe, and so of course it affects everyone. You had to think carefully about how you brought in the big issues that are the stumbling blocks. So tell us about that quickly, because it was very clever of you, I thought.
Well, yeah, I was trying to get the children to understand that, some of them were passionate about fast fashion, some were about plastic, some were about climate emissions, to try and understand that all of those are linked and they're all connected and they are the symptoms of a flawed architecture of a system that we all inhabit. And so the way we did that was through a story, I mean, like a almost a fairy tale of a mythical creature called Groth, who is this sort of creature that allowed people to communicate and share goods with each other in their communities and around the world. But then Groth kind of got too big and started to foul its own nest. It expanded with fossil fuels and mass consumption, and the trade just increased, and its tendrils reached out around the world and eventually wrapped around it. And now it's destroying itself. And so the mission, I guess, of the film is how do we tame Groth? And I called it Groth because it's growth without the W, which is for wisdom. So we've been growing without wisdom. And how can we start to grow again with wisdom if we're going to pull this off? And so really trying to get the children and I guess the audience to try and see this problem in a much more systematic way and holistically, because I think that's kind of been missing sometimes. We're so hyper-focused on these individual areas and think, oh, we've just got to get our energy right and we'll fix climate change. It's like, no, well, the climate is a result of everything that we're doing. It is this industrial system. So, how do you do that to kids without, overwhelming them, freaking them out, all those sort of things? And I think that fairy tale just landed really well with them.
You actually got two people to talk to you from the capitalist underbelly, one being a banker, one being part of Nestle's. I was brought up in a town which had a Nestle's factory outside it. We called it Nestle's, but everyone else calls it
Yeah.
Nestlé's. But anyway, as you said, he was perplexed, the guy from Nestle's, because he was working within a business paradigm which just seemed completely reasonable. And as he said, he's a grandfather and he doesn't want to leave something terrible to his family. But that's the conundrums. But the fact is, he actually did front up, and that was the point, wasn't it?
Good point. Yeah, that's it. A lot of companies said no, and Nestlé did say yes, and I didn't think they'd say yes because they've, really not got a great track record and haven't really let this sort of thing happen before. So there is credit due there, but also, like you said, the blindness and his inability to acknowledge their impact. I mean, 38 million coffee pods a day they make, 5 million Kit Kats a day, all with wrappers that end up largely in landfill or in our rivers and waterways. And for his inability to take responsibility for that, or say, look, we can't do this stuff. We need everyone to do it. I think he rightly earned the wrath of some of the children in that moment because he did have an opportunity to say something different or own it. But as you saw, the children then really understood that there are good people, there are human beings that do care, but they are trapped in this system. And that was the analogy in the film of that ant mill, that some of us sometimes are all caught in this spiral. No one quite knows how to step away from it, and companies have to please shareholders and all the things, the architecture of the system that's been set up, that we're losing really good people who do want to do something because they are trapped in that. And I think the children really got that, that this is a systemic problem. There are obviously a few individuals that are doing enormous damage. We know that. But there are lots more really good people that would work for something better if they could see it and understand that it was possible.
Outcomes for the film. I know I'm pushing it here.
Well, the Real Future Council is a thing now. So the kids wanted to invite other kids around the world, not just them. So we've helped them to set up a child-led organisation, which is a not-for-profit. It has a COO, it has a board members. And the idea is to start using the film to recruit children from around the world that are like the children in the film and passionate and don't feel like they can express their fears or create and collaborate with organizations. And then we partner them up with these groups. We help them put a future council in their school. We get them all to meet up globally, meet with governments, assess sustainability initiatives, co-design regenerative products. All of that stuff is kicking off now. So it's incredibly exciting. The children can feel like they're actually designing their own future.
Thanks, Damon.
Good on you.